hundreds of items if you order by noon. Get it printed right at Staples. And now get up to $50 off your print purchase. And 76, visit staples.com/print for details.
This KIIC weather update for all of southern Iowa is brought to you by Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center in Sheraton. For our Tuesday, there is a 40% chance of showers, possibly a thunderstorm in the afternoon. Our daytime high around 95 degrees. The heat index making it feel like 103, and up to an inch of rain could fall Tuesday on the overnight.
Now it's time for Just Start Talking on Thunder Country, brought to you by People's State Bank and Albia. Just Start Talking is a community service program from KIIC. And now, live from high atop the square in downtown Albia, Just Start Talking.
With me on the phone right now for my installment of Just Start Talking, I have a local gal who grew up in the area. Brooke Bauma is with me. Brooke, thanks for being with me here on KIIC.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and I keep calling you Mr. Powers, so I guess our viewers, or listeners rather, should know that we go way back. You were an FFA teacher at the high school I attended in Eddyville, so it's really good to talk to you again.
Well, I appreciate that so much, and you've gone on to do what some people say, bigger and better things, but we'll get into that a little bit. As you talk about going to college, you went to a local school. Talk about your experience at that.
Okay, well, after I graduated from Eddyville High School, I went to Central College in nearby Pella because I'm Dutch, and at the time didn't really put a lot of thought into college like kids do now. I thought, well, it's close, and it's a college, so I'll go there. And so I did my 4 years at Central College. I was a communication major. That was my major. They didn't have a journalism school. But I did an internship my senior year in when I studied abroad in London in a newsroom, and sort of got the news bug while I was over there, and that would kind of inform what I did after graduation, I guess.
That is so cool. So that led you from that to a position at a small market TV station. Talk about that.
Yes, so right after graduation, I got a job at KTVO, which is based in Kirksville, Missouri. They also have a bureau in Ottumwa, so really close to home, and they took a chance on me. Like I said, I didn't have a journalism degree, but the news director at the time knew I grew up in the area. And so he hired me right out of college and taught me how to write for news, how to shoot video, and really put together a story and how to be a reporter, because I didn't have that training in college. And so he did that. He was very generous and, like I said, took a chance on me. And so I spent a couple of years working at that bureau in Ottumwa alongside some other reporters who were legitimate reporters who went to school for that. And so I learned from them as well, watching how they approached news and put together stories, and worked there for a couple of years while living at home in my parents' basement. So it was really a great experience for me.
Absolutely. And of course, you know as well as I do, these stories that you're talking about are based on minutes and seconds. It's very prompt in terms of how you got to make that fill in a time slot that the producer wants you to hit.
Yes. Well, you know that now working for a radio station. So news is, you know, each newscast is usually just half an hour, and you've got to put commercials in there, and you have to give time for the weather guy and sports. And so at the end of the day, there's probably, you know, maybe 10 to 15 minutes, if that, for news content. And so as a reporter, you really have to learn how to take this big story and cut it down to a minute 30 at most, which can be really hard if it's a layered, complex story. And you have to do it quickly sometimes, and especially if it's breaking news, if it's something that's just happened you know, sometimes minutes before the newscast, you have to be able to explain it in a very short amount of time. And KTVO was really great in the sense that it gave me that chance to kind of learn how to hone that skill and how to do that while making, you know, maybe a few mistakes along the way. And so that is one of the challenges. That's one of the hard parts about news, is taking something big and making it small.
I'm talking with Brooke Bauma here on my installment of Just Start Talking, and you kind of led me into my next question, Brooke. And you've already touched on this a little bit with the teamwork from the other people that work there. Give me some pros and cons of working at that small market.
Yes. So KTVO was in one of the smallest markets in the country. So there are about 220 TV markets all over the country. And some of, well, the biggest one is, as you can imagine, New York City. So they're ranked from 1 to 220 based on the size of the area, the population of the area that it's serving. And KTVO, Kirksville, Missouri, is one of the smallest. And so I guess one of the pros of starting in a really small market is that you can make some mistakes along the way. There are also opportunities because they can't pay you as much money, because the stations don't generate as much money from advertising. You have to do it all. So when I started as a reporter at KTVO, I was not only going out and interviewing people and writing the stories, I was also getting video. I was interviewing them on my own with the equipment. I had to learn how to use the cameras to do the interview, to tape the interview, and then also to get all of the video. And then I had to go back and learn how to be the editor. So I was putting all of the video and the sound together, and then also writing it on top of that, and sometimes even setting up my own live shot, if there was a live shot. So you're doing it all. And I think that is, I mean, that was the best lesson that I could get, because you really learn how to not only manage your time, but you learn how to do every piece of, you know, like put together every piece of the puzzle, essentially. And I think there's some value in that. Now, I would go on to other markets where I would not have to do that. I wouldn't have to shoot my own video and edit it. Someone else would do that. But I think it gave me an appreciation for, you know, what everyone else does, and just helps you become more well-rounded. I don't know if that's the right answer or not, but that's really what they teach you, you know, when you're working in a smaller market. The con, of course, is that you have to do it all, and that's a lot of pressure. And sometimes when you're not only writing but shooting video, you can't maybe focus as much on the interview, you know, getting as much information as you want, because you're also thinking about all the other things that you have to do.
I concur. There's a cornucopia of items, and you left out packing your own stuff and carrying it as well, because of the fact that that's part of the deal is also. I'm talking with Brooke Bauma. She's a local gal that grew up over in the Fremont area and went to school at Eddyville. And Brooke, then you made that next step, the next step transition after a smaller market. Talk about getting into that, the larger market.
Okay, so after KTVO, I went to a station in Topeka, Kansas, and that was a great next step for me, because I got to work with people who shot videos, so videographers. I wasn't the one doing that. So I got to really kind of hone my reporting skills because I wasn't doing everything. They call it one-man bands when you're out there getting your own video and editing it. So I learned how to be a better reporter, and then I also got the opportunity to start anchoring, which was kind of, able to take my job to the next level. They let me anchor the morning show, which taught me a lot, not only how to anchor, but how to get up at 2 in the morning and still function. So that was wonderful. I was in Topeka for a couple of years, loved my time there, just great city, great people. And then in 2000, I got a job in Des Moines, so coming back home in a sense, back to Iowa, and got to work there with some amazing people who had a lot of experience. And so being able to work alongside people who had been in the business for, you know, 20, 25 years, I was also able to just take my reporting, hopefully, to a new level because you're working alongside people who are just really good. So I ended up staying at WHO for a lot of years. I left in 2019, so worked the morning show at WHO for most of those years. I think it was about 15 years in all that I was on the morning show, getting up at the crack of dawn or pre-dawn and, you know, just learning how to function on very little sleep.
You know, that's the crazy thing about it. A lot of people who don't have that type of schedule don't understand the ramifications of getting up that early, because you're going to tucker out earlier in the day, and some people just don't quite understand when you're not up for a dinner date or a party at somebody's place because of the fact that your schedule is so demanding that way. It really kind of puts a damper sometimes on that aspect.
It can. It was, you know, I always tried to view it as a good thing when I was at WHO, because I was working the morning show most of the years that I was on the morning show. I had kids. In fact, my son Evan is about to turn 17, and it really allowed me to, because I'm going in so early, let me back up a little bit. So a typical schedule, my schedule when I worked the morning show at WHO was I would go in around 3 or 3:30 in the morning, but then I would get off early in the day. I was off most days by 10 a.m. And so it allowed me to not only have a career that I loved, but I could go home and be with my kids and help raise them. So it was kind of the best of both worlds. I got fulfillment in both ways, but it does, you're right, it is really physically exhausting when you're getting up at 2:30 in the morning. That's not natural. And so you really have to be good to your body. And so I was going to bed, you know, when I would put the kids down. And so, yeah, there's not a lot of wiggle room in the week for, you know, dinners and time out with friends and, you know, extracurricular activities. It's pretty, I guess, disciplined in that way. But I was grateful for all those years that I was able to spend, you know, at home because of that crazy schedule.
I'm talking with Brooke Bauma. She grew up around the Fremont area here in KIIC listing area and then went to school, graduated from Eddyville. And so in this media that we have here, whether it's radio, television, newspaper, you're always going to have experiences talking about feel-good stories, and you're also going to have some sad stories that you have to talk about. From your experience, give us a little bit of a feel of those good stories that you've done, and then we'll get into those lowlights later on.
Oh, yeah. There have been a lot of good stories, and sometimes people think the news just reports on, you know, the bad stuff, the sad stuff. But over the years, I was able to do a lot of feel-good stories. You know, there are a couple of them that come to mind. There was one I did a long time ago, and it was with this kid. His name was Nick Ackerman, and he was when he was, I think, 2 years old, he had to have both of his legs amputated.
Yes.
Just below his knees. And that's really sad. But this kid did not let that stop him. He went on to be one of the best wrestlers in the state of Iowa and wrestled for Simpson College and was the Division III national champ in his class, in his weight. And so that was, I got to interview him right after he came home from the championship, and I was just so moved by that. He did not let his disability stop him from doing great things. And so that's one story that kind of stands out to me. We did a series called the Golden Apple Award that I also did for many years, where we got to go out and surprise teachers with the Golden Apple. And these are teachers who had been nominated by their students. And every time we went to the school, we would do a big presentation, and no one knew who was getting the Golden Apple. And when we would announce who the winner was, every single time, that teacher was moved to tears because they were just so, I think, surprised and moved that, you know, their students would take time out to honor them. And I think felt good that they got some appreciation. And teachers, I mean, you know, because you were a teacher for so many years, it's a hard job, and you don't know that you're always being, you know, appreciated or valued. And so that was actually a really special time for me to be able to do the Golden Apple Award, because you got to see that these teachers felt like they really mattered, you know, for the afternoon.
And the cool thing about the Golden Apple, it continues to this day. So it has been a very good project for WHO to keep doing that. What about the sad side? I mean, it is difficult to talk about those things because it could be heartbreaking, or it could be close to you in some certain way. Talk about going through that and getting through it without breaking down.
Yeah, that is really hard. Gosh, there have been a lot of sad stories that I've covered over the years. I was thinking of one in particular about, and this happened a long time ago. I want to say it was maybe 20 years ago, but it was in the town of Perry. And a woman had, she was actually the CEO of the hospital in Perry, and she had, just in a nutshell, she forgot that she left her 9-month-old daughter in the back of her car. Usually her husband took the babies to daycare, and she had to do it that day, and she forgot that her daughter was in the back of the car, and she went to work instead of dropping her daughter off at daycare, and it was a really hot day. And so the baby was in the car all day, and she died. And I remember just feeling so much sadness, because at the time, my nephew was about that same age. And that was a really hard story for me personally to do. But what we ended up doing was asking the dad if he would do an interview with us. And he actually ended up agreeing to it, even though it was a really hard time for him, because I think it was really, in a way, it was such a tragedy that they were going through, but it gave him a chance to talk about what his family was going through and to talk about this child who had died. And I think it was really cathartic. And so sometimes I would always try to remember that, even though it felt really hard approaching people who had been through, you know, kind of an unspeakable tragedy, whether it was an accident or what, it offering to do an interview is sometimes a really healing experience for the people that you're interviewing. And you have to approach them the right way, of course, and be sensitive to them. But that's what I always tried to remember, is that sometimes doing an interview can be a really healing experience for people. And yeah, you just, I don't know, sometimes, you know, stories were just really sad, and you would have to just sort of prepare yourself, you know, before you go on air and try to get through it. And, you know, there were a couple times where I probably teared up on air, but I think people understand, because, you know, we're all human, and even though we're reporters, we're still, you know, sensitive and have feelings too. So I don't know if that's the answer you are looking for, but, you know, I think there is sadness, and we can be sad too as reporters.
I'm getting choked up just thinking about that story, Brooke. I'm talking with Brooke Bauma. She grew up there in the Fremont area and graduated from Eddyville and got into the media business. And lo and behold, you did another transition. You transitioned away from WHO and got into baking. Talk about that process.
Well, yes, I did do a little bit of that. So I guess I just kind of started, you know, making these cookies, and I would make cakes as well, and kind of did that for a little while. I still do it from time to time. It's not like a full-time business, but just kind of if I have friends or family who needs cookies or cakes. In fact, I did it this past weekend for a friend of mine whose daughter was graduating from high school. I made some decorated cookies. So I do that. And mainly since I quit WHO, I've just been raising kids. I have a 16-year-old, 11-year-old, and a 7-year-old. So I'm keeping busy, trying to keep them alive and get them to where they need to go every day. I'm basically a taxi. But then I also started kind of dipped my toe back in the TV water. Last summer, I started filming a TV show for Iowa PBS, and it's called Road Trip Iowa. It just started airing in April. And we shot 10 episodes, and we take little road trips along some of Iowa's byways. That was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that. It was different from a news experience. It was, you know, just going out and showing people all the great things that are in Iowa that you can explore. So we did that, and it's airing right now, and we're just getting ready to film season 2 this summer. And that's just, that's been a lot of fun. So, yeah, I, you know, transitioned out of news, but I guess TV called me back.
And I appreciate the fact that you're doing this because Iowa has so much to offer in every corner of the state and right down the middle as well. There's things that people can see. It doesn't cost them a whole lot of money to go to that part of the state and enjoy the fruits, so to speak, of the labor that those people in those towns have. And you have probably said, hey, this is kind of neat as well. Talk about one of those stops that you've done for Iowa Public Television.
Oh, I know. There have been so many. And that's exactly the feedback I keep getting from people after they watch the show. They'll say, I didn't know that about Iowa, and I want to go there this summer. And really, that was the whole point of doing this show, is to show all of those places that maybe you don't know about. And now, you know, we just want to get people out and seeing the state. I agree with you totally. You don't have to spend a lot of money. A lot of these places we show on the show are free because they're state parks or places that you can explore for, you know, very little money. You don't have to go out of state or out of country to have a cool travel experience. You know, you can just travel 2 hours down the road. It's hard to pick a favorite one, but oh, I do love Eastern Iowa because it's so different from, you know, Central or Southeast Iowa where your listeners are, because it just has a different landscape and topography. You've got the Mississippi River, which is just beautiful. It's a really hilly part of the state. And so we did, of course, Dubuque, which is beautiful. And we went to LeClaire. So Dubuque has some great places to explore, especially with families. They've got this great river museum, and they've got a park there called the Mines of Spain, which is just gorgeous. You walk up, and you can see the Mississippi. It's just breathtaking. It gives me chills. And then we drove down to LeClaire, Iowa, which is the cutest little town. They've got some great shops. It's where Mike Wolf lives, the guy who started American Pickers, the TV show.
Right.
And so he's still there, and he's really renovated that town. So you can go explore his shop if you were an American Pickers fan. They've got lots of great little things on their kind of like main downtown area. And then what also makes that town so cool is that the Mississippi River is right there, and it's one of the few places in Iowa where you can literally just walk to the edge of the Mississippi and dip your toe in it, and it's that close. And just a beautiful little town. I really loved that stop. That was kind of one of my favorite areas to explore, but we did get a chance to go kind of all over, so just some great little places. And if you haven't seen the show, you can watch it on Iowa PBS. Sorry, shameless plug. Or you can watch it online on the app, or if you go to the website, you can also see those episodes. And I think they're great because they kind of lay it all out for you. Each episode lays out travel along some of Iowa's byways, and we show you where to go. Usually there's a state park to explore, a restaurant to eat at, and then, you know, some other great places to stop and see.
That sounds great. I'm talking with Brooke Bauma. She's a graduate out of Eddyville and grew up in the Fremont area, and she's been into the media, cut her eye teeth there at KTVO, and then went on to Topeka, Kansas, and then up to Des Moines at WHO. But now with Iowa Public Broadcasting, you get a little special perk as well. You get to attend the Iowa State Fair for free. Talk about that.
Yes, I sure do. So the last few years, I've been doing a little bit of work for Iowa PBS. They called me a few years ago, or after I left WHO, and asked if I would be willing to fill in on Market to Market, which is a show that maybe some of your listeners are familiar with. It's an ag show. So I fill in for them when Paul is on vacation or on assignment. And they asked me to work on their fair show, which is a show that really is kind of an Iowa tradition. I forget how many people watch that show, because after I've helped Iowa Public Television with that show, I would have so many people come up and say, "Hey, I saw you on the fair show on Iowa Public Television." And so it was a great way to kind of reconnect with viewers. But yes, so I do work for Iowa PBS during fair time. I go out and cover a few things that ultimately becomes part of their fair show. They have a show that runs every night that shows kind of the highlights of the day. So I get to do everything from covering the politicians to, you know, covering some of the, like, local events that go on, like the judging and the, you know, like, sexiest leg, you know, contest.
Gosh, yes.
Or whatever it is. Yeah, there's a little bit of everything at the fair, and it's kind of fun to be reminded of that.
Oh, my gosh, that is phenomenal. I'm talking with Brooke Bauma for my installment of Just Start Talking. Brooke, we're going to go a little bit to the offshoot here. Another Central graduate is coming back, and a well-known media person, Harry Smith, is going to be teaching in the fall. He's got a class on curiosity. How does that make you feel, somebody coming back and who's done a tremendous amount of work in the media, and he's coming back to Central College?
I know. He is the Central College superstar. And I was so excited when I heard this news. Like, what a coup that is for Central.
Oh, absolutely.
It makes me want to be a student again. I think it's great. And I think it shows, you know, Harry, he is retired now. He retired last month from NBC News as a reporter. Had this great career. And I just love that he loves Central College so much that he was willing to come back and really give back in a very great and generous way. I can't wait to hear more about it this fall, about some of the things that he'll be teaching students, just about curiosity. Because as a reporter, really, at the end of the day, that's like what you are, is you're just curious. You're asking questions. And I think that's a great skill that we can teach, you know, future generations, how to be curious in life. My husband always tells my kids, just ask lots of questions. And I think that's such a great gift that we can give our kids, and really anyone, is just to ask questions. You learn so much when you are curious about other people. When you ask other people questions, you learn so much, and it makes other people feel good, you know, as well, when you're asking about them instead of just talking about yourself. I love everything about Harry Smith coming back. So I just think it's wonderful. Good, good.
I want to remind our listeners that you can re-listen to this installment of Just Start Talking by going to our website, www.kiicradio.com. Pick that audio vault up there on the top tab, and then on the right side, you can see this podcast and listen to it all over again, or a snippet of it if you would like. Brooke, thank you so much for being with me here on KIIC.
It has been my pleasure, Mr. Powers. You spent so many years at Eddyville High School and had such an influence on the kids there, including myself. And so thank you. And I'm just so happy to hear that, you know, you've got like this second act now at the radio station, using your skills and your gifts to help out in that way.
You're too kind. I appreciate that. Thanks again.
Oh, you're welcome.